All right, we are ready to do this, and I promise I will not slap you the way The Rock slapped Cody tonight. Welcome to Murder Gymnastics, a wrestling podcast. I'm Mr. Meany, as always, and my buddy Paul is also, as always, over there. How's it going, bud?
It's going good. Maybe I want you to slap me like Rock smacked Cody tonight. Ooh,
I'll give you a good one backhanded right across the chops.
And I'll enjoy every minute of it.
Before I get into that fun press conference details, which I don't know if you heard about what happened today, but
I did not.
Ooh, it's hot off the press. It literally just happened. It's exciting. I didn't see it. I've just read about it. I don't know how you would have watched it. I'm not even sure what it was on. What kind of wrestling fan am I? I don't know where it was, but it's hot. It's big. It's we'll just Google it while we're talking here. So, but cheers,
probably
bud.
Probably on cheers. What are you drinking?
I got some. My usual whiskey was not in stock, which was very sad. And so I had to fall back on the delicious 12-year Canadian Club, which actually used to be my whiskey of choice before I discovered 40 Creek Barrel Select. But this whiskey it smells and tastes fabulous. What do you got over there?
Nice. Well, it's nice when your fallback is your former favorite.
That's what it is. Exactly. My old best friend is here. It's like, oh, there you are.
Nice. I'm actually sipping on a bourbon tonight. It's new to me because our office, and around Christmas, they do a Wino Survivor where everybody submits a bottle of booze and then everybody gets eliminated.
Yeah.
I ended up placing third, so I ended up with like four bottles of stuff. And when I do that, I always like to just get like random stuff. So this is a bottle of Buffalo Bourbon, which I had not tried before.
Oh, like Buffalo Trace?
Yes.
Yeah, that stuff's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
You know what we did on the weekend? We had some friends over for a brunch or afternoon tea sort of thing we did. And it was like an adult afternoon tea. So what I did was I took a bottle of just basic cheap gin and I infused it with that Cream Earl Grey that I hooked you guys up with a few years ago. And so I let it infused all night. I did about 12 hours and we used that to make like Earl Grey martinis next day with like lemon and stuff. Oh, it was so good. It was so fragrant and amazing.
Damn delicious.
Yeah, it was a nice way to spend the afternoon. Like adults drinking cocktails, you know?
There are worse things to do.
There are worse things. Man, we just, right before we were doing this, we're still binging The Bear, which we're way behind on popular shows, apparently, because this show, his second season's already done, and we're just getting into it. But holy shit, is this show good? I have, like, there's this one, the main theme is like a 26-year-old song by Refused. I don't know if you ever listened to Refused, but I can't get this song out of my head now. It is such a great track. I'll send it to you afterwards. It's like kind of like a reoccurring piece of music that shows up in the show from time to time. But it's kind of like a chaotic kind of song because the show is kind of chaotic and it just captures the mood. So
it's reminded me of this.
I can't get it out of my head at all. So
Refused is one of those bands where I'm pretty sure I've heard a couple songs back in the day and was likely addicted to one of their songs at some point and then just kind of fades into the back.
That's the thing with that band. You would definitely know, like, they've had songs in like video games, they've had songs in movies, they've had songs in TV shows, and they have such a distinct, like, aggressive kind of punk kind of rock sound but they were like, I think one of the front runners of that sound. So they, I couldn't believe the song was, I was like, oh, there's that song from like 5, 10. And I look, I'm like 26 years ago. Holy shit. God damn, I'm old. Time, man.
Well, and speaking of that, my wife and I just started watching The Morning Show on Apple TV.
Ah, yes.
And we've been binging that. And there was a song that played, and she knew it, and I didn't. And I was like, a little jealous, because usually I'm the one that identifies the songs. But she's like, mouthing the words and everything. I'm like, how do I not know this song? And she's like, well, this is a cover or this is a different version. It's like, but this was on the Kraft soundtrack. And so it ended up us going on this rabbit hole after the show ended us.
Oh yeah. I ended remember up that us actually.
Just going down the rabbit hole of listening to the Kraft soundtrack. I'm like, God, I have not listened to this album in forever.
Yeah. That movie's kind of a guilty pleasure in this house. We both, like, if someone told me they thought that movie was terrible, I'd be like, okay, maybe it is, but I still love it. There's lots of movies that I'm like, maybe it's a fine line between terrible and great. I like that one.
Yeah.
I like how there's no wrestling on this wrestling podcast at all. We opened with, well, like, we're going to talk wrestling, and then, nah, hard pass.
Well, these could be our entrance themes.
Exactly. You know be a good entrance theme? I'm obsessed with that French band that we listen to, Slift.
Slift?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and they have several songs in there that would be awesome wrestling themes, like really, really good. Like slow paced beginnings and then incredibly aggressive choruses would be fucking awesome.
Yep, I agree. I thought the same thing when I was listening to their new album.
Hey, if you were a wrestler, see, we brought it back. We brought it back. Music right into wrestling. What would be your wrestling theme song? What do you think you'd, what would you choose?
Man, currently, I would say my current obsession of bands is, as you know, Con from Australia, just a
Yeah.
grungy, doomy riff. Something from them. Vala was probably, it's got that kind of speed up and hard stops
And
rhythm
very
to it.
moody. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So you could kind of, it would suit a short entrance, but it would, because it meanders a bit, you could also, if you were entering a WrestleMania or something like that, where your entrance was a little bit longer than normal, it would fit that too. So yeah, I think that'd be mine. How about you?
We go back 36 years. It's always been Shortest Straw has been since the first time I heard it. I put it on, I tried it in my basement as an entrance theme for wrestling, and it just works perfectly. Like at entrance, you'd see the Jumbotron would be showing some crazy shit. And then when the song really gets going is when you're driving your way down the ring, get up into the ring and it hits the chorus and you're on top of the ropes. So like it's a fucking br I used to do it in the video games when they let you use your own goddamn music. Now you can't do that anymore, but like that used to be my theme in the games too. So
Ooh, that's funny. You just brought back a memory that I totally forgot about. Same album, but Harbester of Sorrow
Oh
used to
yeah.
be like what I used to think of as like a great entrance theme, and also,
Totally with that riff. Oh yeah.
back in my geeky game, I'm like, that would be a great wrestler's name. I'm the Harvester of Sorrow.
Oh, that would be a great wrestling name. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And then of course in modern wrestling it would turn into like an acronym, so you would be HOS.
Yep.
Because everything becomes like there's POS in TNA, right? So it'd be HOS instead of
Yep.
Triple H and yeah,
I
you
don't know
believe
that I want to be HOS.
Hey,
I'm a
POS pro
holder.
POS. Oh yeah, that's true. I don't think
It's
POS wants to be POS either, but it's there. He's stuck with it now.
stuck.
Yeah. And he's still showing up, I noticed, and he's still doing his Frankenstein gigs. So I'm still happy.
It bugged me less this time, I will admit.
He certainly, I can fucking speak. He certainly got his ass handed to him this week. For a big guy. Obviously they're putting over what's his name? Drawing a blank on the big dude that kicked the crap out of him. Whoops.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that
I
guy.
can't remember his name. Yeah.
Obviously, when you put over like a guy by having him destroy like a big monster, that's a big push to get people going, ooh, who the hell is this? Apparently it didn't work because neither one of us remember his name. But next time we'll remember what this guy's name is. So,
Hey, I watched that like a week ago and I couldn't even remember the password that I reset a week ago. So.
right. Open to a TNA. Why not? We never do that. So we'll talk about total nonstop action wrestling first. It's still great. I'm still really enjoying it. It's such a simple show.
Yep.
It actually reminds me of our former bye-bye love NWA. It reminds me of
Yep.
NWA with more people in the crowd and a little more budget.
A little more polish.
It's just a little bigger version of that. So it's probably what Billy
Yeah.
hopes to get to eventually once he, figures his shit out. But I'm
Yeah.
fine right now settling with TNA because I'm enjoying the roster is great. I'm really enjoying. Okay, quick sidebar. Firing the president seemed completely out of nowhere this week. That I saw the article and I'm like, wait, I gotta send this to Paul because wait, what? I thought that guy was like popular with the locker room, and because I've seen people on Twitter, like
And
the
so,
wrestlers saying bye and like broken hearts and all this stuff. I'm like, what the fuck
yeah.
happened there?
I'm wondering if there's more to the story, but yeah, it seems a little out of the blue where they just do this complete rebrand.
Yeah.
He's, the focal point of it. He comes out and makes a couple impassioned speeches over the last couple weeks and then just kicked to the curb. So,
The only thing I can think
yeah.
of is that because they're doing the whole rebrand, there's like a new corporate force that's
Hierarchy
ruling
or
them now.
whatever.
So quite often they come in and they just want to get their people in place. So it literally could just be like, because I don't think like obviously it's 2024. My first thought was, oh, what did he
Yep.
do? Right. But then I
Yep.
Googled and he didn't do anything. So at least as far as like usually that stuff is like front page. So I didn't find anything. I'm not a troll. I don't dig for that kind of stuff. I just Google it once. And if it's not in those first like six headlines, then I'm like, oh, I usually go, whew, okay, this person I can still like. That's cool. You know, but I saw
Yeah,
nothing,
because if
man.
there is something there, you're right. Like
Oh, yeah.
it's not going to be hard to find if there's something.
No, exactly. So I guess they just want to change the direction. I hope that whoever they put in that spot either isn't hands-on or knows what they're doing, which I'm assuming they this is a big deal. Like they just relaunched. They you don't fuck this up after like 4 weeks, three no,
Yeah.
three, it's been 3 weeks. So
Yep.
we'll see. We'll see.
Well, and hopefully the person they bring in is just as passionate as this guy seemed, because he was, you were just talking about him last episode about how great it was that he was so impassioned and,
He sure
shedding
was.
real tears
Yep.
and yoink, gone.
So weird. So weird. So somebody that I'm excited about on that show right now, the Grizzled Young Vets. I don't think you knew them before this,
I
but
did not.
they were in NXT UK. They were their gimmick being it's British soccer is their gimmick, which I thought was awesome. So they wear jerseys, got the scarves, and they yell and they hit hard, and they basically they got their gimmick kind of fucked with at NXT. I don't know why. They just were trying throwing stuff at the wall, but and then they got fired, so or laid off or whatever. So, but now they're back being themselves, and I really enjoy them. I think I like hard hitting, guys that are like ground and pound, and these guys I really enjoy them, and they're in that best of three, not falls matches situation for the title, which you don't see that often, and I actually really like it. They should do that more, sort of best of three, best of seven. I've seen those before, not often, like I said, but I enjoy kind of like a playoff series for the belt. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually haven't seen this before, so it's a completely new concept. They're one of those teams that I'm still trying to figure out if I like them or not, because I being a footy fan, I do like to stick with the scarves and the jerseys. They're in ring, they're clashing with the team I've kind of glommed on to, ABC, where they're just kind of high flying, just really, fast paced, good moves. So yeah, but that's the thing is like, and that's one of the fun things about learning these new teams is figuring out who you like, who you don't like. And it's these grizzled young vets, they're really good in the ring, but they're fighting against my current guys, I think. So therefore I cannot like them.
In that pure wrestling thumbs up thumbs down kind of way, there's actually no one in TNA right now that I'm actually like ugh, like Phil, like there's no CM Punk in TNA that I'm literally like, oh, get off my screen, you're ruining my fun here. Like everyone's either someone I cheer for or don't cheer for according to their own rules they're establishing with me. Like I'm cheering for some heroes, cheering against some villains. It's a good roster for that. Speaking of which, I noticed Mustafa Ali was added just that last episode. He's WWE guy. Like he got laid off. He's incredibly talented, and he just couldn't get over. Like everyone was like, why isn't Ali huge? Because like he can do anything in the ring. It's when you get to see him in the ring, he is spectacular, and he's good looking and he's well spoken. It just for some reason, like Roman back in the day, it's just not. It was never working. So hopefully this is a place he can. The gimmick is weird. Like he's like a presidential candidate or something. So I find the gimmick is strange. Like that I wasn't expecting that at all, but I'm not. Hey, he's got to play the hand he's dealt. So I'll be checking him out and hope he gets in some good matches and we can see what he can do. So.
Yeah, I've heard the name, so I knew he comes with a little bit of cred. Yeah, I can't say that I'm loving the whole presidential thing, but again, it's one of those things of like, okay, well, let's see where it goes. Don't judge it beforehand. I'd say the only person that I'm not indifferent to might be even strong, but and I'm really bad at this, and I apologize because it's learning the roster. But there was a guy that came out, and he's clearly been a baby face for a long time, and he just turned on his long-term partner.
Oh
He got
yeah.
in, and he had like a 5-minute promo in the ring, and I'm like, okay, it's not a bad promo. But then anytime a wrestler talks to the audience and says, "It's okay for you to hate me now," I'm like, well, I don't know that you need to say that. I don't know.
That
It just struck me as unnecessary.
promo was really trying to push the fans in a direction, which you don't want to do because the whole idea, well, you can try. Many people have tried, so,
Yeah.
but you got to let it happen
Yeah.
organically. Or at least if you're spoon feeding it, it better be exactly what they're looking for. You better just be like, yes, this is the
Yeah.
perfect thing, because it didn't really go over, I don't think, the way they wanted it to, but that's okay.
No, but I mean, really, that was the only kind of bump in the road. And even that, I didn't find it was that bad. I just thought, well, maybe that could have gone a little bit better. But yeah, no, I've been looking forward to watching it every week. So
Interesting seeing
yeah.
Okada there in that one main event. So
Yeah.
I think that's his last appearance there, because apparently off air, once it went to black, he like kissed the middle of the ring and did like a whole tribute thing and stuff. So I'm pretty sure he's signing with someone. I'm so curious if he'll show up on like at Mania, or if he'll show up in All In. I don't know exactly what his plan is. I know he's almost done his contractual obligation matches with obviously with TNA. He's with New Japan. So, but I'm dying to know where he's going to end up. I hope I can watch
Yeah.
him on the regular. So,
Yeah, huge talent. And yeah, I guess the history was that he had a little bit of a negative feeling towards TNA and how
yeah.
things had gone before. So this was a little bit of a resolution to that, which I always kind of like hearing stuff like that.
Me
And
too.
yeah, it's interesting.
I
So yeah,
respected
I'm.
that he like water under the bridge kind of thing. Like he didn't put the promotion under, he put them over. So I thought
Yeah.
that was kind of cool of him to do. Nick Nemeth is doing great so far. He's always been like a small fish in a big pond, right? Like he's a great wrestler, and for some reason in WWE, even though he won the world title twice, he still wasn't really ever considered to be a main card guy, always mid card. So it's nice to see him. Like, I know it's a smaller crowd, but it's got to be a lot of fun for him. And he seems to get in the pops, and he seems like he could still go. So I have no idea how old he is, but he doesn't look rusty. He doesn't look like he's blowing tires while he's in there. So I think it's gonna, hopefully it works out. And that's about all I saw on TNN this week that I can think of, unless you got anything else.
Well, I mean, there's one big thing that I don't know if you're planning on saving it for later, but Jordynne Grace, it was great to see her. And then, of course,
Oh
where else
yeah.
did you see her?
Oh well, yeah. We'll get to the. Well, I guess we could jump right into the Rumble. WWE, the Royal Rumble is always a blast, and so we were stoked to watch it this year. And they opened with the Women's Rumble, which I'm glad, because it outshined the Men's Rumble by a mile. It wasn't even close. The Men's Rumble was fine, and like, it's not like it was bad. There was lots of great stuff, but it's like an hour and 10 minute match, and so if it's not amazing, it's pretty long. There's a lot of stuff that happens, and so there was no big surprises in the men's. Like the only, I think Andrade was the only big surprise that walked out. We were like, "What? Holy shit! He left AEW. Wow!" Other than that, it was like, "Oh wow! It's the guy from Raw that we already know." Like it was just everyone that you already knew was going to come out
Yeah.
came out, except for Brock. Obviously, we won't get too far into that, but obviously Brock was pulled from the Rumble, and now will be erased from history or whatever's going on. Anyway, totally different. We'll come back to that. But yeah, the Women's Rumble was awesome. Opened the pay-per-view. Tons of surprises all over the place. But Jordynne Grace, yeah, Knockouts champ, comes out. I lost my mind. I was like, well, I legit was not expecting, even though 2 years ago Mickie James came out. So that was a big deal because she was Impact. She was Knockouts champion at the time. I didn't even think of that for a second that it was possible again, but she looked awesome. She like Jordynne looked like she could just step in there right now with Bianca Belair, with Rhea Ripley. Like she didn't look out of place at all. She's under contract right now, but I guarantee that she's already said, like, see you soon. I've seen her tweet a couple times, like, that won't be the last, all those
Nice.
types of messages. So I'm pretty sure once her contract's up, I don't think Impact would be able to keep her from going to WWE. So
Well, and actually, it was something really cool. I always like seeing promotions work together, but it was really cool that on last week's Impact episode, they actually had a little bit of the build up and her experience
yeah.
at the Rumble, which I thought was really cool.
I thought that was cool too. Their Rumble match was great. Bayley winning it was like a surprise. Like I did, she's not a name that I would have thought at all, except with about like 20 minutes left, you could just hear it. The crowd, she was the one they wanted. I don't think that changed the result of the match, but it definitely, the storytelling worked because everyone in the crowd wanted Bayley to win that by the end. Like the entire crowd popped. And she was like a villain going in, right? Like she's the leader of, or was the leader of Damage Control. They've had a falling out now, which has set up the WrestleMania match. So Io versus
Nice.
Bayley. But yeah, it was a great Rumble. The other matches weren't particularly memorable. Our LA Knight match with Roman Reigns was exactly what I thought it would be. It was a four-way that you knew Roman would win. And so it was a good match, but Roman's story has been a long one. And, like I said, he's never losing the belt. And you kind of get that feeling when you watch the match. Like, no matter how well anyone does, I'm like, don't worry, it'll all fall apart in the end. And it does. So, well, we'll see what happens this year at Mania, because it's going to get interesting
Well,
now that,
why? Did
now that.
something big happen?
Well, now that Cody wins the Rumble, right? Back to back years. And big deal, because like not many people have been in the position to win two Rumbles. Steve Austin won back to back. Hogan won two Rumbles, I believe. And maybe someone else. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. It's a long time ago. But
It
Cody winning.
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter who won the Rumble. Yeah. But yeah, it's so Cody wins the Rumble, then they insert The Rock into this story, which has fucking pissed people off. Like, Paul, the internet has been losing its mind, like losing its mind about like the hate towards The Rock. Like, The Rock is The Rock. Everyone loves The Rock.
Yeah.
No, this is how over Cody is. Me and Margot
Oh.
cannot believe the hate. So his poor daughter, Ava, has had to cancel her Twitter and all her social media. She was getting fucking death threats from people. People are
Why do
insane.
people suck?
Right? Like, why do they suck so hard? This is pro wrestling. It's like, what the fuck, man? All the stuff to get mad about in the world. But anyway, it sucks. But yeah, people have been like going crazy. And I think this is what they wanted, because like I think they were testing the waters to see how over Cody is. Like, he's fucking over. It's insane. So they had a press. They don't usually do a press conference like 2 months before Mania. I don't remember them doing this before. So they did one today. And it, of course, ends with an altercation between The Rock and Cody. The crowd all booing The Rock. And then The Rock, and then Cody declares finally that he's in fact going to face Roman Reigns. That results in The Rock slapping Cody, and they go off the air, apparently. So some drama
Huh.
there. Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's like, The Rock is could he could not be more over lifetime in the ring, right? He's The Rock.
Yeah.
He's one of the most popular people on the planet. So this is a smart move to bring him in, and to basically to get people wanting anyone but like the biggest name on the planet. That's putting a guy as far over as you could possibly get him. If Cody doesn't win the belt at Mania, holy shit, that's a ballsy call at this point, because like they're gonna blow up the stadium if he doesn't win the belt this year. I think like there will be a riot in Philadelphia, and you don't want to fuck with those Philly fans. Cheers to you, people.
Oh, no, you don't.
Don't come get me.
Cheers.
I'm complimenting you.
No.
You people are intense and you're passionate, and Jesus.
You're talking about a fan base that threw snowballs at Santa, cheered Michael Irvin when he was getting carted off with a broken leg. Those fans are, as they say, intense. It's like camping.
Yeah.
It's intense.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. They tore their own city apart when they won the Super Bowl. It's like, damn. That's
That's true.
a fired up fan base. So
Yeah. Don't fuck with
yes.
Philly.
So yeah, we got Rock out of the picture now. There's no way. So somehow he'll be involved in Mania in this in some way. There's two nights of Mania. People got to remember that. It could be they could set up all kinds of fun stuff, right? Something that happens night one that carries over into night two. There's all kinds of fun. And Damian Priest still has his briefcase. So I guarantee you he cashes in a Mania. He has to, because the next
He's
month it
running out of
expires. Yeah,
time.
it has to happen. So I hope there's like a ton of title changes. We've had so many champions that have been champion forever. I want to see some belts switch bodies,
New blood.
switch buttocks. So yeah,
Yep.
we won't get into too much about the lawsuit, except all I'm going to say is we obviously support the victims, and if any of this stuff is true, then any perpetrators need to fucking rot in jail. So that's all I'm going to say. If any of
Cheers to
this
that.
stuff, if this is true, like fuck all of them. I don't care about history. I don't care. You can delete them from the database. I don't care. I saw that John Laurinaitis guy's now claiming he's a victim, and he's like gonna like, turn state's evidence on Vince. Well, fuck him too. There's no way I trust him at all. He's just trying to cover his own ass.
Save his ass.
If
Yeah.
those two are if those two are as bad as they say, just fuck them. That's all I
Yeah.
gotta say.
I
So
agree.
We won't discuss that anymore. We'll proceed with the wrestling. So I came up with that idea today about it's Mania season. It's the road to WrestleMania. So we're gonna do a countdown of our, these iconic matches that everyone talks about that we haven't watched in a long time. We're gonna revisit these over the next three episodes and see if these matches still, have survived the test of time, if they're still awesome. So we'll list off our six matches later that we're gonna take a little deep dive into over the next couple of months, leading up to Mania. And yeah, hopefully these matches are not disappointing. Hopefully they still kick ass and are bangers.
Well, and I'm looking forward to it because two of these are, not to tease it too much, but to tease it a lot. Two of these are some of my favorite matches, and the other four, I don't know that I've ever seen. So I'm really
Ooh.
looking forward to seeing them.
See, that is
Kind
fun.
of like the whole, Rock and Hogan match that we covered on that run-in episode where
Right.
we did WrestleMania, right?
Yeah,
So
yeah.
it's this iconic match that I had heard about forever, and you always wonder, kind of like an iconic movie. It's like, is it going to live up to the hype? Am I really going to dig it? Is it worth it? So
Exactly.
yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Well, it's like back in episode four, I was solo back then, just running this thing by myself. And I did Hogan Andre. And I wanted to revisit it because we'd watched the Andre documentary. And I was like, I loved that Hogan Andre match when I was a kid, but I'm like, is it still a good match? I remember, like, after watching the documentary, Andre being so broken. Like, yeah, is the it, like, am I just remembering it wrong? And then rewatching it. And I was like, holy fuck, no, this match is still a fantastic wrestling match. With to tell that type of story with a wrestler that can't really move that well, and you don't even I, personally, I only noticed it twice in the whole match that there was any real forced mobility issues on Andre the Giant, and to have such an iconic finish, it does make me excited to rewatch some of these matches that we're gonna watch. We'll get to those. We'll get to those. So what else have we been watching? I did watch NXT. I watched a lot of NXT because they had Vengeance Day pay-per-view. And then a couple of episodes. So I am now fresh and live with NXT finally. And I think I'm gonna be every week now. They got me. The hook is back in. So
The hook is deep.
Vengeance Day, Booker T was not on color. Our man Wade was back. So I'm really
Ooh.
hoping that that actually is a change they made, because it was so nice to hear Wade back on the mic. And sorry, Booker, love you, but it was so nice not to hear. Oh yeah, ooh, ziggity wow! Like, I just his voice is driving me insane. So it was great. It really it just added that extra pop to the show. That pay-per-view was amazing. Like, it was a pretty big arena for NXT. I was impressed at how many people were there. They knew all the chants. The crowd was going crazy the whole show. So it looks like people are really digging what they're doing. The roster is fantastic too. So yeah, it was excellent. Really good show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Because the crowd can make and break a show. It doesn't matter how great the match is. If the people in attendance aren't responding, that kind
Yeah.
of almost feeds to the people watching on the pay-per-view at home too, where
Totally.
it really kind of, it just sucks the life out of it if you don't have that kind of extra energy there.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
and just seeing Wade when he was in NWA for that little bit of time when he replaced Jim Cornette, he was awesome there for
Oh,
that little bit of
he's
time.
great on color. So actually on Fridays they made a change. So Michael Cole is on Raw now. So they brought
Pat
back Pat
McAfee.
McAfee. So he's actually, because college football's over, so McAfee's back. He's doing color on Raw with Michael Cole, and Wade went to Friday. They actually fired Vic Joseph, the guy that was doing commentary on SmackDown. I was shocked by that. So Corey Graves now is the he's never done lead before. He's the play-by-play with Wade as the color. So they have two heels on SmackDown and two baby faces on Raw.
Oh,
I've
interesting.
never seen that done before. We're both really impressed because it's a neat dynamic to have two heel announcers. I've never heard that before. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah, I've never seen that before either, because
Yeah.
usually you had your Jesse the Body Ventura to your Gorilla Monsoon. You always
Yeah.
had that them play off one another,
Yeah.
so.
No, it's interesting. We'll see if it works. This is Corey's first go at it, and I didn't really notice any problems. It's like it's a massive transition, right? So I'll allow him a few months of figuring out how to not just react to things. You have to be leading the story all
Yeah.
the time. That's a tough job, especially with a mic in your, or a piece in your ear, and Triple H or whoever it is screaming instructions at you. That's got to be really, really tough. But hey, that's all part of the job, right? So,
Well,
yeah.
cool.
So NXT's, yeah, it's going great. You're gonna love watching it next year on Netflix, because they do an annual the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, and you love tag team wrestling. So they actually do a
Yeah,
tag
dude.
team tournament, and the trophy is like Dusty's boots, but like bronzed, and
Ooh.
it's great. And like it's a tag team tournament. You can't really go wrong. It's always fun, fantastic. The winning team gets a title shot. There's always got to be some kind of stipulation on there. So yeah,
Nice.
it's really good.
I look forward to checking that out.
Yeah. What else we got?
Well, I've been watching some AEW.
Oh, I watched a little. I admit I didn't. I missed. I did not watch last week. I'm a week behind, but I did see that cage match. The House of Black and
FTR.
FTR. So it was a good match. I actually really enjoyed it, but I have a major beef with elimination cage matches. It's a broken gimmick, in my opinion, because, and I saw one live that, like, I saw the British Bulldogs Heart Foundation live, like when I was a kid. Awesome match, except having the stipulation that you both have to get out. It's not really interesting. Like, if you just leave, then you've left your partner behind. That makes no sense. So you either both have to leave at the same time, which is kind of silly, or you have to have some kind of weird gimmick that results in two people being thrown out. Or like when the two guys were hanging off the side on the out, it didn't make, it's like, why don't you both just let go? Then you're both out. Like it didn't really, I don't really like it as a gimmick. I think that if it's a team thing, there should be a pinfall or submission in the, there should be a referee in the cage. And if it's one-on-one, yeah, you can try to get out of the cage, but like, why didn't you just leave? And then what's stopping you from going back in? There's no disqualification. So I would just climb out, and that counts as you're out of the match. And then just go back in and fucking kick the shit out of them. Like, it's the gimmick makes no sense. So it took me out of it the whole time, because I'm like, this doesn't make any sense at all. The actual way the win has to happen is kind of broken. So,
Yeah,
but
I
take that
haven't seen
away.
many like that, so I will say that yeah, it was fascinating, but it breaks logic when you're looking like, yeah, exactly. The door's open, you could just step out right now.
Yeah. And
Like
then
there's
come
so
back
many.
in.
Yeah,
It's weird.
exactly. So I thought it was an interesting way to end it, where, you know, they had Mark Briscoe, who looked like he was going
Yes.
in for Daniel Garcia, who then got attacked by the House of Black, and then he ends up coming in and being a factor in the outcome anyways. I thought that was
Totally.
clever. I didn't really see that coming, so
I liked the Briscoe part, but then all it did was shed light on how come if you just another guy left, just go back in.
yeah,
Like it just
fair
meant
enough.
anyone can interfere. It like there's no disqualification. So anyway, so I
Yeah.
enjoyed the part, but it was like also like once you got everyone in the ring smashing each other, it was a good time. Those
But then
they all know
Daniel
what they're doing.
Garcia got to be the hero and do his
That's
one
true.
move dance that people love, and I'm just kind of like, really?
I know.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, I understand.
People are waiting for him to do his hip wiggle dance, and it's like, all right. To me, it's on par with the not the Fantastics. You know who I mean, from NWA, where they do Spectaculars, where they do the
Spectacular. Oh,
like,
yeah.
yeah, it's on par with that, where I'm
Actually,
like,
I think theirs
okay.
is better, and I hate their dance, but I still think it's better than the one that he does. But anyway,
You like what you like.
that's right. The only other thing that I remember from AEW that made me laugh was once again Nigel, because he makes me laugh every week, and it's always when when Bryan Danielson's in there, and he says, the
Oh,
closest thing Bryan
clam
Danielson,
digger.
the closest thing Bryan Danielson has ever been to being an MMA fighter was getting his hair braided. Fucking killed me. That's a fucking great line.
Yeah, so somebody that we were both a fan of when we started popping up in NWA seems like forever ago was Lady Frost, and
Ah,
she's made a
yeah.
couple appearances, so I'm hoping to see her a little bit more.
I love Lady Frost. That crazy moonsault she does. You can see her gymnastics background. She has such amazing form when she does that. Fantastic. I saw her on Instagram the other night, and she used Murder Gymnastics in her tag. I know it wasn't
Really?
referencing us, but I'm like, I didn't know that that term was being used by anybody. So
Yeah,
So either
Awesome.
that's either awesome or oh, the name of our pod is just gonna it's gonna turn up elsewhere all cool and people are gonna be like, you guys stole that from Lady Frost. It's like, no, man, I swear. I
Check the
swear.
dates. Check the dates. There's a really fun match between Eddie Kingston and it seems like Jobber to the Stars, Willie Mack. Like, it's funny because I love Willie Mack. He just brings a really fun energy and he can wrestle and he's just
Former
such an easy.
NWA world champion.
Oh, that's true. I always forget that.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I don't know why. I just, it's like I have a mental block. But yeah, he was facing Eddie Kingston. So I didn't expect him to win, but it was a good match and fun
Nice.
match between two guys that I love. They're just so
Yeah.
good. And Eddie Kingston's so funny because Tony Schiavone's trying to talk to him after the match and he's like, ah, fuck off.
Right? He's the opposite of everything you expect a wrestler to be, and it somehow with it works. He's the only one that it works with. Like he just says something different and almost sounds like it would be wrong if someone else says it. He says it, no, it works. The way he acts, the way he kind of stumbles down to the ring, the way he carries the belts, everything is just weird and awkward, and I love it. I'm here for all of it. So
The way like he does that really quick, it's almost like a nervous pace to the ring where
yeah, the
he
nervous
doesn't
pace.
take his time. He just does a like almost like two step, like not two step, but double time step to the ring, looking around and doing the quick nod to fans as he gets there. It's like,
It's
let's just fucking go.
so good. It seems
So
like
good.
forever that we were watching on NWA in front of like 50 people.
And I like what they're doing. Like they're building the heat between him and Danielson because Danielson's kind of coming across as a bit of a dick,
Right?
which he's like a fan favorite. So it's kind of interesting for him to do that, where like his matches, or at least the last couple of weeks, are right after Eddie Kingston. So
Yeah,
he
yeah.
doesn't even wait for Eddie Kingston to clear the ramp. And then his music starts and he's walking out and not even paying attention to him. And actually, Eddie was on color the last week, and they were talking about that, and he's like, "Oh man, I've been down this road. I know he's just trying to get under my skin, and you know, I'm trying to not let it bother me. And it's, you know, I know what he's doing." I'm like, "Personal growth, Eddie. I love it. He's gonna snap one day, but you love
Bryan
it."
Danielson, he can be a good heel. I've seen him as a heel. And he is really good at it. So he can play right now. He's kind of like walking that line of sort of being like an arrogant baby face, which is like he could turn heel really quick, or he can just be walking this line for a bit. But he was that vegan, the vegan world champion in WWE for a while. And it was fucking one of the best characters and people hated it. Hopefully it was in the right way because it was so goddamn funny. It was so
That
funny.
is
He had
hilarious.
his like his wooden like organic title belt and everything. It was so funny. I loved everything about it. So anyway.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Serena Deeb is back. She's somebody that I was
Yeah,
waiting
that's right.
for. So she's had a couple matches and you can really see that, yeah, she's really rounding into form nicely and she's going to be a threat. And I look
Yeah.
forward to it because it's going to shake things up. And I was saying in our beginning of the year episode that I wanted to see and I was expecting to see growth. And it seems like that is happening. So
Yeah.
yeah, I'm really, really
Well, they
looking
had
forward
a
to that.
few important pieces that were out injured, right? So like and unfortunately it showed they didn't have the depth to fill that in. So now that the people are coming back, the women are coming back, you're seeing, oh, here we go. The roster's looking full, but it definitely shows that they need more mid card, more top card, all around the board for the ladies division, because they got to make sure that there's always like you're going to have injuries throughout the entire year, always. Every division's going to have that. You got to make sure you have enough people, enough talent to fill it all in. So
And then I would say, actually, we just recently were talking about Bryan Danielson, but he had a match on last week's episode of Collision versus, and I'm going to probably butcher the name, so I'm sorry, but Hecatero?
your
I
guess
will
is as good as
spell it
mine,
out
bud.
for you. Hecicero. So it's part of this storyline that they started, and I love it when they do this. So you've got the luchadors coming in from CMLL. So you're kind of seeing a little bit of cross promotion
I
between them.
love that. Yeah.
So, I mean, we've seen the NWA do that in the past, but yeah, now AEW is doing a little bit. And this match was phenomenal. Like just different energy, extremely technical. And some of the submissions that this Hecatero was putting Danielson in, I was like, beating my leg with, like, it looked like it legitimately
Oh.
would hurt. Like, it would really put you in an uncomfortable position. So that is definitely worth seeking out and finding. It was really, really good.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably catch up on Collision tomorrow because I don't know. It just didn't work out. There's so much wrestling going on. I'm watching too much. I'm not too much. I'm watching a lot of wrestling, and there's just yeah, it hasn't been fitting in. So I'm gonna figure that out because I don't want to fall too far behind on AEW. I'm not gonna watch everything, but yeah, matches that you mentioned, and then I've read about a few online that I do want to watch too. So I'll get caught up. Interesting that there's so much speculation about what's going on with MJF, even though like. It's funny how people get worked so easily nowadays. Like he's just hurt. Like I'm 100% positive that he's hurt. He's so they pulled him off the roster to create this type of hype and buzz. 'Cause like he's getting buzz without doing anything. He's like he's doing less. He's not even on the website and he's getting hype. So like it's working. He's not people are like, oh, he's gonna be at WrestleMania. No, he's not. Like, stop it. I'm not like Cody. Yes, that was a surprise and that happened right before Mania. That's not what's happening with MJF. I do think MJF will be in WWE after his contract's up. I know that I've heard him interviewed. He was in WWE before, right? When he was younger. And he never really got past the jobber slash you're supposed to be a security guard, but you're 6'2" and 250 pounds. You can always spot the wrestlers, like they're security guards. And Margo's like, do you recognize any of them? Because it's like, you know, they're just either NXT people or jobbers, right? So, but yeah, I miss seeing MGF like actually on screen. He's by far to me the star of the promotion because when he's gone, I'm like, oh, I miss that
I miss him too, but he's always on the Wednesday show, and that's the one I'm not watching. Like, he's always
True.
on Dynamite. So he'll show up on Collision every now and again, or you'll see, they'll recap like, this is what you missed this week. And sometimes that's good enough, but sometimes they do show stuff that I'm thinking to myself that I should go check out. And then I promptly forget and don't. But yeah, no, it's just another two solid weeks. I would say actually this last week was top to bottom really, really good.
Nice. Well, I look forward to watching it. That's about all I got for the wrestling that I've watched. If you do you got anything else?
Nope, that's good for me.
All right, we'll give a little setup for what our little road to WrestleMania plan is. Then, like, we're gonna be watching six matches. Throughout the history of WrestleMania, maybe we can do this every year, something like this at least, because it's kind of fun to do deep dives into stuff, especially matches that we haven't maybe seen in a long time, or I have like mixed feelings about. Maybe I didn't like them when I was younger. Maybe I'll like them now. Maybe I didn't like the match when I was younger. Maybe I'll think it's fantastic now. Who knows? So, matches that we're looking at, going way back to WrestleMania 3, which I still think is the best match of all time. We'll see if it's lived up. Because I haven't actually watched that match in a few years, but Macho Man Randy Savage, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, it was the greatest wrestling match that I had ever seen. That's still what most people consider to be the best wrestling match. So I'm really excited to give that a revisit. So,
Show Stealer. I
yeah,
love that match.
WrestleMania 6, we're talking about watching Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior. I'm really excited to watch it because I hated that match. I was what. 17 years old, and I thought that was the worst wrestling match I'd ever seen, probably because of the level of hype. It was so hyped, and it was in Toronto. It was like this big, it was in Canada, this big deal. And I was like, this is awful. But I hear people talk about it being iconic still. So I'm guessing I'm gonna watch it with different eyes now, and we'll see. Maybe it's actually awesome, or maybe it sucks.
Two
Banger.
legends colliding and two legends that aren't necessarily known for their wrestling acumen, shall we say? So, but hey, we've kind of progressed to the point where you can still kind of have fun with it.
I think
So
I can. I think I've changed and will I'm actually expecting to like it, but we'll see. WrestleMania 13. Now this matchup is cheating because I already know it's fucking awesome. Bret Hart, Bret the Hitman Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. I can't wait to watch it. I can't wait to deep dive and talk to you about it because you're Bret Hart, your favorite wrestler of all time. But that match is, I remember it being horrific. Like it's so bloody and so real feeling and so gritty that it's actually a little uncomfortable to watch. So
And the
I'm
storytelling.
yeah, like it's not. there's nothing fun about that match. Whereas Macho Man
No.
Ricky Steamboat is such a fun ride. There's nothing
Yeah.
fun in the Bret Stone Cold. It's two guys that hate each other. It's two guys. It feels like a real fight because it is. So yeah, I can't wait
And
to watch that.
flips the script and changes one from a heel to a baby face and vice versa. But yeah, I any excuse to just rewatch that? Yeah, I'll do that.
Well, what else are we talking? WrestleMania 17, tables, ladders, and chairs 2. It's the Dudley Boys, Matt and Jeff Hardy, and of course Edge and Christian. So that match, it's as far as I recall, complete chaos and fucking awesome. I hope so. I don't, those type of matches are not my favorite anymore with too much weapons and stuff. And that match I remember has all of that. So
Yep.
I'm sure I'll still love it. Actually, I'm expecting to really love it, but you never know. I'm being open-minded. So
And I don't know if I've ever seen this match. I may have seen it back in the day and just don't remember, but yeah, I'm not sure I've seen this one.
you forget because you're old, but we watched it together. You're not remembering unless I dreamt this, and I'm pretty sure I didn't, but I'm pretty sure we watched this WrestleMania in your basement of your parents' house,
Which is now my house.
and which is now your house. So
Yeah, well, and you could be right, and I could have just been either drunk or just, like you said, old and forgetful.
do you remember Triple H coming out and Motorhead playing live his theme song as he came down to the ring?
I've seen
Motorhead.
clips of it, so that's kind of a cheat. I've seen recent clips of it. Do I remember
You
it?
don't remember that moment though?
No.
Man, maybe I didn't watch it with you. Who did I watch it with then? That's the question. I watched it with someone, my imaginary friend.
It's sweet that you think it's me.
Wait
I'm your imaginary
a
friend.
minute, you're not real? Shit. So then that takes us to WrestleMania 25 with Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, and The Undertaker. Now, this match is considered by a lot of people the best in the history of WrestleMania. So I've seen it, but it's been a while. So I can't wait to watch it because it is one of those iconic people. You got Heartbreak Kid and Undertaker, two of the biggest of all time. But I don't remember the specific details of it. I can't wait to revisit it and do a little deep dive on that one. So
Well, and I'm looking forward to it because as I've said on the podcast before, my attitude towards Shawn Michaels has really changed over the years, where being a Bret mark for so long, I fucking hated Shawn Michaels. Like, just the look of him, I wanted to punch him. But now with some perspective and looking back on things, I can appreciate him for the talent he was and the performer he was. So I think I'm in the right headspace to watch this. And I mean, I love The Undertaker. So, yeah, I cannot wait to check this out.
And then the last one we're going to watch will be from WrestleMania 35, so fairly recent. And it was the first time that the women's match was the main event of the whole damn show. This is before they split it into two shows. So it was the end of an 8-hour show. One of the best
Jesus.
WrestleManias of all time, actually. It was an incredible show. I remember there was a battle royal that had two of the Saturday Night Live guys in it. And it was so funny to watch. They hid under the ring so that you forgot that they were even in the match. And then, like 20 minutes later, they came out from underneath the ring. We're like, oh my God, they're still in the match. Like, it was so funny. And they got tossed out, of course. So it was a really good show. I think the end of that one, Roman beat Brock, took the title off Brock. So that's always good. But
And he's
yeah,
never lost since.
he never lost since. But the women's match, Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, and Charlotte Flair, it's a fucking banger. It's an incredible match. It was back before I got sick of Ronda Rousey. So it was when Ronda was the hot commodity, when she was the shiny new toy. And you haven't seen it, but I can't wait to watch that one.
Nope. Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to checking it out.
So yeah, we're gonna watch these. We'll do two episodes per week. I'm not even sure which two we'll do next week. Well, I don't know if we'll do them in order. I guess we could do them in order. Is that interesting? Doing alphabetical order. We'll do them in order of blood spilled. Is that a thing?
We'll do them in order of the reported attendance.
There we go. So start with three. Actually,
Yeah.
that's the only one that I know. 93,173. Is that right? Oh
Yeah,
man, it's
it's
been a long
close
time.
enough. It's in the ballpark or in the football stadium.
the imagine I'm doing quotations 93,000. You know, who knows? Who
Yeah.
knows how many people were actually in that stadium? We'll never
Yeah.
know now. It's the
Yeah.
same amount of people that were in All In last year in London.
Yeah.
They clearly fudged those numbers too. Who cares?
Hot dog vendors
Yeah.
counting the mice.
So yeah,
They're in
that's
attendance.
so yeah, so I guess that takes us to our pushes and tabots, unless you got any other wrestling news you want to talk about.
Not really. I think we kind of covered it all. So, yeah. What you got?
So for I'm gonna start with tap outs. We'll start with the negative and go to the positive. And I got no tap outs. I'm not tapping anything out because Phil is gone. So that's a beautiful thing. No CM Punk for me to complain about. So and WrestleMania season's here, and The Rock slapped Cody. Things are going great. So yeah, I'm good. You got anything to complain about, sir?
Really, the only thing I have written is corporate bozos, Vince McMahon, and then and I wrote this before talking to you because we're kind of in the age where a high profile person gets fired and you assume it's because they've done bad shit. So I looped the TNA president in here, but I'll scratch him. But just like, well, I think it's just an all encompassing. It doesn't even have to be wrestling related. Just corporate bozos in general. Just
Corporate
tap out on the
bozos.
corporate bozos.
Fine, I have one tap out and it's that one. I'll join you.
All right, we'll tag team
I
this
don't want to get
corporate
canceled
bozo.
for not tapping out on the bozos. There's our first t-shirt that we'll sell to people.
There
Murder
you go.
Gymnastics on the back, tapping out on the bozos.
There you go.
Nobody will understand. So,
Yeah. So what's your push?
so I got a couple pushes. First off, Drew McIntyre is just fucking killing it right now. He's doing this grumpy baby face. I talk about it every episode, and it just keeps getting better and better because people don't know when his music hits. They don't know whether to cheer right now because you don't know what he's gonna do when he comes out. His whole gimmick right now is that he's just pissed. He's mad. He's tired of getting the shaft, but he's not acting like a heel. He's not trying to get heat from the crowd. And then all of a sudden he'll headbutt Seth right in the face. And the crowd goes, what do we, how do we, because we were cheering you 5 seconds ago. What do we do? Like he's balancing this thing right now that's beautiful with confusing the audience. We love Drew, but do we hate Drew right now? Like all he's wanting is his fair share. Like it's a great character. He's killing it. He's never been in as good a shape as he's in right now. He looks phenomenal. His kickups are amazing. And he's managed to like work his way into like he might be in the heavyweight, like he might be fighting Seth at Mania. I don't know exactly what their plan is. He's gonna be in some kind of big match at Mania. So he's keeping himself relevant and he's killing it. He's doing great. I love Drew McIntyre.
Nice.
And my other push is for something else you're going to love when you get to the NXT journey next year is the Heritage Cup Championship trophy is just such an awesome thing that I know a lot of people don't get. It's a British wrestling thing. It came from NXT UK. It has its own set of rules. So like the champion comes down carrying a trophy, not a belt. So like when Jordynne Grace won that title or that trophy that got her a title shot, right, in TNA. This is an actual like championship that people are trying to take from you, and it's you know 6 rounds, best 2 out of 3. There's all these stipulations, and it's fucking great. It just sets up each match is different. You can't have the same story when you have all of these rules, and it might be a little confusing at first, but as long as you watch it consistently, it's like any other sport. You learn the rules, and it's simple, but it's great for storytelling. I'm always amused by it, and it's something that you don't have to be the biggest guy to win. Usually the people that are competing are actually they don't usually have big guys in the competition. So yeah, anyway, Heritage Cup, it's awesome and I can't wait till you get to see it.
Nice. I
Yeah.
can't wait either.
What do you got? What's your pushes? What are you loving?
I'm gonna push a name that I obviously cannot pronounce, but Hetchicero, Hetcha, the guy that fought Bryan
Yep.
Danielson in Collision this week. He just brought it and made me want to see more of his matches. He pushes, you know, Daniel Bryan to the brink. Or Daniel Bryan, there you go. I did it. Bryan Danielson.
Same
This is
guy.
what happens when you got two first names and all you did was swap them.
Yes, yes,
Yes.
yes.
Oh, I would love to tap out on that. I fucking hate when he does
I love
that.
the yes. Yes, that's his from WWE. That's the old that's when he got over. Like his incredible baby face push that the crowd gave him. It was LA Knight level that when he was getting over, because Vince was not putting him over in WWE at all. He thought he was too small. He was clear. He never said that, but you could tell they were not putting him over, and the crowd made it happen with the yes movement. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Nice. Well, okay, fine. Maybe I'll cut him some slack. But yeah, that match is just such a banger and just different. Like, especially if you like submission wrestling and just seeing different submissions, like not the same, like chin locks and arm bars and whatever, like just a different level and different style of submission. So yeah, this Hechicero, I'll butcher it 75 more times.
Hechicero sounds right, I think, but
Yeah.
it's probably wrong. Don't
It's probably wrong. But
trust me.
anyways, that guy, check him out and
Nice.
I'll learn his name. And then that just kind of ties into my other push, and that's just as I said earlier, I love that AEW is working with CMLL and just a cross promotion between promotions. Like we were talking earlier about Jordynne Grace appearing
Right.
in the Rumble, but also seeing the behind the scenes on TNA Impact of like her whole experience. Like it's just that realization of you don't have to live on an island. Like you can all get along and you can all get pop working together. Imagine
Exactly.
that. So
Triple H said backstage in regards to Jordynne Grace, he actually said, "Yeah, I just I don't consider that door to be so forbidden." And I'm like, "Yeah."
nice.
I was like, "That is awesome. I love it. I love it."
Well, and yeah, I think everybody benefits from it, the fans, the
Oh
talent, the
yeah. Oh yeah.
promotions, just more of that. So that's my push.
Nice. Love it. Okay, well, it's time to wrap things up. Huge thanks to all the listeners that joined us this week. Don't forget to subscribe and download the episode in your podcast app of choice. Every little bit helps us. Spotify users, you can now interact directly with the podcast in-app as we add Q&As and polls for every episode, so check those out. And we even try and read out your responses, so let us have them. And you can now reach the podcast on Instagram at Murder Gymnastics Pod. I try and post daily, so pop on over for fun memes, pics, and videos. And of course, Paul, if people got nothing going on, what should they do?
Go watch some wrestling. Yeah!